This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is most deserving of our thanks and our praise. We seek His aid, we seek His help, we seek His guidance, and we seek protection, we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil around us, from the evil within ourselves, from the evil consequences of our poor choices. We bear witness that there is absolutely no one and nothing worthy to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively alone. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final beloved messenger. May Allah shower him with His peace and mercy and blessings, and his family and his companions and all those who follow his sunnah, his tradition, until the end of time. It can be declared quite confidently that almost everyone, if not everyone, wishes and desires to have a high status, to have an honorable and high elevated position and status. And I don't necessarily mean in terms of leadership or being a ruler or whatnot, but I mean in terms of in the eyes of people, to be honored. Nobody wants to be humiliated or debased or to be a lowly individual or to be seen as that. Nobody wishes that for themselves. And you can say that that's a natural desire found in most, if not all, people. And so on that topic, I wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about an individual that is mentioned in the Qur'an. A special individual. One of the prophets that is mentioned in the Qur'an. And some of the prophets, some of the messengers, they're mentioned, their name comes often in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you peruse, if you read, you survey the Qur'an, you will find mention of the prophet Adam in many places. You will find mention of the prophet Nuh in many places. Musa in many, many places. Isa in many places. Ibrahim all over the Quran. But there are some prophets that are not mentioned as often. And so today let us pause with one of those prophets, one of those Anbiya. He is a Nabi. He is one of the Anbiya, a prophet. And his name was Idris. Idris alayhi salam. He is mentioned in the Quran twice. In one occasion, he's not even mentioned alone. He's mentioned with other special people in the Quran. وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِدْرِيسَ وَذَا الْكِفْلِ كُلٌّ مِّنَ الصَّابِرِينَ Allah mentions him alongside Ismail and the Kifl and says that they were patient. وَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِنَا Allah says that we entered them into our mercy. And Allah says that they were of the صَالِحِينَ Righteous, pious, obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another place in the Quran, in Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِدْرِيسِ, make mention in the book of the Prophet Idris, إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. He was صِدِّيق. He was someone that embodied truthfulness. And he was a Nabi. He was a prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him next, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. We elevated him, we raised him to a high place, to a high status. And that's it. You won't find mention of Idris anywhere else in the Qur'an. There is no other details about him or his life in the Qur'an. There are some narrations about Idris alayhi salam, but they are also few. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it comes in a narration, and there might be some dispute on the authenticity, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, أَوَّلُ مَنْ خَطَّ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ Idris. That the first of human beings that learned how to sew, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired with the knowledge of sewing clothing, was Idris. Something interesting. Idris came, he was from the progeny of Adam alayhi salam. And before then, people used to just wrap themselves with individual pieces of cloth. But Idris alayhi salam was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was inspired with the knowledge of sewing pieces of clothing together. Interesting. Interesting piece of information about Nabiullah Idris. But we have information about Idris, as we do with other prophets, from narrations that come from the people of the book, Ahlul Kitab. The scholars refer to these narrations as Isra'iliyat. Now we take these narrations and we study them. And if we find that there is information in the book of Allah or in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that agrees with this piece of information, then we can accept it. But if we find anything in the book of Allah or in the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that is contradictory, we are not willing or interested to accept anything that is contradictory to the book of Allah or the sunnah of His Messenger. So if we look at these narrations that we inherit from the people of the book, these Isra'iliyat narrations, we find that there is a narration about Idris that says that Idris was informed, Idris was told that for every good deed and every action that his followers, his people do, he will receive the reward of that as well. Meaning he's getting double reward. Now that's really good news. That means he's having a lot of ajr, a lot of reward. Now keep in mind that Idris as a Nabi, as a prophet, he did not receive a new message. His job was to confirm and remind and reiterate and establish the message of the Rasul, of the Messenger, or the Nabi before him. And so he did not come. His people were upon Tawheed. After Adam alayhi salam, for many generations, the people were still upon belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They may have had some mistakes in their actions or their behaviors, and Allah would send a Nabi, a prophet, to remind them, to serve as a reminder. Now the next after him was Nuh alayhi salam, and we spoke a few weeks ago about Nuh, how the people began worshipping idols other than Allah. And so Nuh was sent to re-teach the people the foundational message of Tawheed. But Idris alayhi salam, his job and his mission was to remind people of the message that the previous prophet had brought forth. And so he was constantly reminding people. That was his job, day in, day out. Reminding. And so it comes in this narration, as we said, that he was told that he will receive the reward, double reward essentially, of every single person from his people. Whatever they do, he gets that same reward with them. And so Idris was very hopeful and very happy to receive this news. Eventually, he lived his life and he felt that the time of his death might be approaching soon. And Idris alayhi salam كان على صلة بأحد الملائكة. He had a connection with one of the angels. One of the angels. He had a connection with one of the angels. And so he told this angel, he said to him, that this is the news that I have received about all of this multiplied reward and ajr that I'll be receiving. And I wish for my life to be extended. I wish for my life to be extended. So can you take me to Malakul Maut, to the angel of death? So perhaps we can negotiate with him that he does not take my soul yet, but he extends my life a bit more. The angel responded to him, he said, this is from the decree of Allah. The time when a person is to die, that's not up to you, that's not up to me. As a matter of fact, it's not even up to the angel of death. He fulfills the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let us go and speak to the angel of death and let's see what he says. فَصَعَدَ بِهِ So this angel took Idris alayhi salam and ascended into the heavens. And we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the heavens, about the skies, that they are سَبْعَ سَمَوَاتِ Seven skies, طِبَاقَ Layers, one on top of another. Until this angel and Idris reached السَّمَاءَ الرَّابِعَ The fourth sky. And there in that level, in that station, they met مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ They met the angel of death. And so this angel spoke to Malakul Maut and said, I have with me Nabiullah Idris. And so the angel of death said, what does he want? And he said, he wanted to come and ask you if you can extend his lifespan. And so the angel of death said, Subhanallah. He exalted Allah, praised Allah. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given me the command to take the soul of Idris at an appointed time. But what was interesting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Malakul Maut that command and he told him that you will do so in a location في السماء الرابعة, in the fourth sky. And Malakul Maut said, I was surprised. How am I going to take his soul in the fourth sky and Idris is from the dwellers of the earth? What could possibly send him to the fourth sky? And here you are bringing him up and I am now descending to take the soul of Idris and you have now reached السَّمَاءَ الرَّابِعَ This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Idris alayhi salam, Malakul Maut took his soul and that was the end of his life. So many of the scholars of tafsir, many of them, when they commented on this verse in the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about Idris said, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا We elevated him, we raised him to a high place. Many of them, they said, this is مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ That he had a high status in this dunya because he's a Nabi of Allah and he's a من الصابرين and الصالحين, patient and pious. And also he has a high status in الآخِرَةِ Because the Anbiya, they will be rewarded for their struggle and for their work and for their effort and for their piety. They will be in Jannah. But in addition to that, many of the scholars of tafsir said, literally this means a high place because Idris alayhi salam قُبِضَ رُوحُهُ فِي السَّمَاءِ الرَّابِعَةِ That his soul was taken in the fourth sky. That while most people are dying on the earth or in the sea, Idris alayhi salam met Malakul Maut in a high place. So not only is his status high with respect to his position and his role, but also literally his status is high because he passed away in the fourth sky, in an elevated place. And this was Idris alayhi salam. This was the Prophet that we don't have too much mention of in the Qur'an. But of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to tell us about him, is that وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا We elevated him to a high station and a high place. And this narration that we get from the people of the book was confirmed not only by this verse but also by the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Our beloved messenger when he embarked on the journey of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, when the angel Jibreel took him and ascended up with him into the heavens, the Prophet ﷺ informed us in an authentic hadith that he met Idris in the fourth sky. في السماء الرابعة. So let us take a pause and extract and reflect a few lessons from the life of Idris alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our minds and our hearts بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, إدريس عليه السلام, one of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has been elevated to a high place. What are the lessons that we can extract? What did he possibly do to reach such a level and to reach such a status that all of us yearn for? Every human being wants to have a high status and a high position, to be respected, to be honored. So what is it that Idris alayhi salam did? First and foremost, it is mentioned of the description of Idris, is that he was large in stature, he was very tall. This is something that is mentioned about his physical stature. But it was said about Idris that he used to frequently lower his gaze. And he used to walk in a manner that was very calm and composed and collected. He was a humble person. And the Prophet ﷺ told us in authentic hadith, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ, that whosoever humbles themselves, carries themselves in a manner that is humble, that is respectful, not arrogant or pompous, then this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will reward them by raising them. You see, when we try to raise ourselves, when we try to blow up ourselves in our status and we want to be, have an expanded ego and be big people and praise ourselves and mention our accomplishments, the result of that is that we will be very small. People that are arrogant in this dunya, they will be resurrected the size of ants on the Day of Judgment. Tiny little insects. But when a person carries himself in a manner that is humble, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises them. Allah described the believers, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا, the true servants of the most merciful, of Allah the most merciful, they are the ones who walk on this earth with humility. Not seeking a high status, not overpraising themselves and thinking so highly of themselves. Allah told us about people that thought very highly of themselves. Allah told us in the Qur'an about Qarun, who was very wealthy and very arrogant. And when the people around him advised him, and they told him, relax man, relax, be grateful to Allah, don't be so arrogant. He said, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ, all of this wealth that I have, this is my knowledge, that's how I got it. Allah said, أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ مَنْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُ قُوَّةً وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا. Does he not take heed of the mention of the generations of people before him that Allah took away, and they were greater than him in strength and greater than him in wealth? Does he not take heed from these reminders? قَوْمْ عَاد and قَوْمْ ثَمُود, the people of Prophet Hud, the people of Prophet Salih, giants who erected their homes out of the sides of mountains. It did not take any effort from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do away with them when they did not behave in a manner that was humble, when they did not show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what they were blessed with. So when Idris carried himself in such a collected, composed, humble manner, Allah raised him and raised his status. And he will be mentioned until the end of time, وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا, we elevated him. That's number one. Number two, Idris alayhi salam spent his life and spent his time and spent his energy صديقاً, truthful, reminding people, giving reminders. This very act of Jumu'ah that we are in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it's a reminder. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِصَلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. When you are called to Jumu'ah, go to the remembrance of Allah, go to the reminder. Our whole deen, we are constantly being encouraged to remind and to accept reminders. أَدَّالُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ, the one who points to good is like the one who does it. They will share in that reward. Call others to good. تَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, you call to good, you forbid, you discourage from evil. You encourage for good and discourage from evil. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ All over the Qur'an, Allah praises those who remind, those who take heed of reminders as well. Abu Bakr was named As-Siddiq, and we mentioned this in our class on Sunday mornings of Tafsir Surah Al-Fatiha. You might enjoy it. We mentioned that Abu Bakr was known as Siddiq, not just because he always spoke the truth, but when the truth came to him, he accepted it. Truthfulness is a verb, it's a two-way street. We speak the truth, but when the truthful reminder comes to us, we take it. We accept it and we implement it. Now some people may say, I'm in no position to give reminders. Man, I'm a horrible person. I've got, you don't even know the kinds of mistakes that I have, what kinds of sins that I have committed. I'm in no place, I'm just going to keep my mouth quiet and I'm not going to do anything. Well, if that was the case, I wouldn't be standing here before you. If that was the case, Allah would send angels to come give the Jumu'ah khutbah. If the prerequisite to giving a reminder was to be a perfect, pure, righteous person. It doesn't work like that. Every single one of us makes mistakes, but we are encouraged to rectify, fix that, and encourage one another. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبَرِ And we shouldn't respond to reminders with trying to flip the table. Somebody comes and reminds you, you know, brother, it's time for salah, let's go pray. Oh yeah? You're telling me to go pray? I saw you the other day when it was salah time, what were you up to? That's not the way we should respond. If this person is not acting upon the reminder, Allah will hold them accountable. But if the reminder is something good for me, let me take it and go with it. Let me take it and implement it and act upon it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might accept. You never know, it might be this reminder, a simple reminder that you give or that you receive, that might be the inspiring, driving force for you or for the person you are speaking to change their life for the better and to turn things around for the better. And the third lesson that we take from the story of Idris is that he wished to have a longer life. Now is that something praiseworthy or blameworthy, having a longer life? Some people say, you know, this dunya has a lot of problems and, you know, we should seek the akhirah. That's true, we should seek the akhirah. But the Prophet ﷺ said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ طَالَ عُمْرُهُ وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُهُ The best of you are those that Allah has granted a long life, but with that long life, they excelled in their actions. حَسُنَ عَمَلُهُ Their actions were beautiful and good. And so it is good to seek a long life upon the obedience of Allah. Upon the obedience of Allah. A long life that is upon disobedience of Allah, now that's a different story. That's problematic. And that needs to be turned around very quickly because we don't know when our meeting time with Allah will come. But we know with certainty that it will come. Sooner or later. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all long lives upon the obedience of Allah. And grant us long blessed lives within which we are reminding and accepting reminders for good, and we are living, taking heed from the lessons of these prophets, the best of people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us similar to the prophets, and allow us to hear their stories, and heed the reminders, and implement them into our lives. Brothers and sisters, there are a few important announcements that I wanted to call your attention to. First of all, we have the Friday Family Night program tonight, as we usually do, and we will be joined with our guest, Dr. Imad, for his inspiring lecture series that he is delivering here at the masjid. In addition to that, there are two special programs that are happening this weekend. Special programs. The first is tomorrow. There will be a program tomorrow, Saturday, from 1:30 p.m. until 3:30 p.m. It will be a panel discussion, like a town hall meeting. And it will take place at the IIOC Extension building, which is just down the street. If you didn't know that that exists, now you know. And perhaps you can come visit it when you attend this program. Now this discussion is going to revolve around how to deal specifically with our children in light of the changes in the political climate and with the changes that we are witnessing now in this country around us. I received myself an email about how do I talk to my kids about, you know, the results of this election and whatnot. Many times it's difficult for children to internalize and understand and deal with these developments. So this is a program that will include representatives from the American Civil Liberties Union, representatives from the local law enforcement, mental health professionals, as well as religious professionals from here at IIOC to discuss this matter so that we can all benefit. You are all strongly encouraged to attend this program and to inform others who may not be here or who may be here but might not have heard about it or might not have listened. Remind them to come and attend this program. That's tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. And on Sunday there is another special program. There is another special program taking here at the masjid, which is a blood drive. And that's going to be on Sunday from 9 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. A simple deed that shows the khuluq, the characteristic of sacrifice like no other. The act of taking out some of your own blood and giving it to somebody else who is in dire need of it. What other small little gesture can you do to show sacrifice? A beautiful, beautiful way of a community coming together and giving from what they have to help others that are in need. Please attend this program, participate, register, donate some of your blood on Sunday, and encourage others to do the same. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, as He has the angels and as He has done Himself, to send salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Send salutations upon Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه وآلائه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.